hierarchy of senses. You start with the working senses, and you start with matter at the bottom. Then the word, this is from 342. You refer to 342. You start with the dull matter, and then working senses, mind, then intelligence and soul. Start with the hierarchy of senses. And that the senses were so strong and impetuous.
So basically this text 60 is Krishna answering one of the Arjuna's this thing, right? Arjuna wanted to renounce everything and go to forest, right? He wanted to give up his Kshatriya qualities or Kshatriya attitude. He wanted to become, you know, like a renunciate and go to the forest. But here Krishna is saying the senses are so strong and impetuous, oh Arjuna, that they forcibly carry away the mind even of man of discrimination, who is endeavoring to control them. So basically, if you are acting based against your dharma, like, you know, Varnashrama dharma, Kshatriya, Brahmana, like that, right? So if you try to act differently on what you are already based on the nature, so then it's very difficult. You cannot control, because basically you are out of your the comfort zone. So here, that's what the senses are so strong and impetuous, carry away the mind even of man of discrimination. So that's intelligence, right? So you, intelligence, what's the function of intelligence? Generally, what's the function?
To discriminate.
To discriminate. That's what mind gives a lot of desires. Mind is, it's a storehouse. As we know, mind, it stores all the desires. But the intelligence is the one which discriminates what is good, what is not. Otherwise, if you, so that's why, so you said the hierarchy, right? Last week you discussed hierarchy. So if the mind is not controlled, it should be under the control of intelligence. If it's other way around, then everything is ulta palta, right? It's ulta. So what are few points? So that's good, yeah, hierarchy. So why was Vishwamitra example given here?
Vishwamitra given somebody who was such a big sage, could not control his senses.
What was different he was doing? What was he doing differently than, why he was not able to control? What was his path? What was Vishwamitra practicing?
He was controlling.
So he was controlling?
Lord wasn't
he was a yogi.
So but the last time we had discussion that Lord Krishna or whoever the Lord was, he was not central to his penance.
You're almost close. So basically he was a yogi, Astanga yogi. So yogi means we have that steps, right? 9 steps. Dhyana, Dharana, like we have many steps. So what the yogis do is they take control of themselves, they try to control based on their own strength. So Vishwamitra was doing the same thing. He was trying to control his senses. Basically he was sitting in a posture, he was trying to control his mind and focus on Vishnu, Paramatma. Basically he was focusing on Paramatma. He was trying to, his goal was Paramatma, but the steps they follow is different way. The way they do is differently. Yeah, it's different to Bhakti Yoga.
We got the example for monkey kid and the kitten.
Yeah,
monkey,
so I was,
he's like a
there.
Monkey kid and Amrisha was like a kitten.
You got it, why? Monkey, right? Did you get the analogy? What Prabhu was telling?
Yeah, we discussed it last time.
Yeah.
That the monkey kid holds on to the mother and the kitten holds on to the kitten. Is that what cap would
cap.
Get up.
So in his way, he was, Vishwamitra was like a monkey kid. He is trying to control, he is trying to hold himself.
On his own strength.
On his strength. And for Amrisha Maharaj, he is like a kitten.
So mother
like
also.
Is holding him.
So naturally, the mother's grip is stronger than
the kid.
The kid's strength, right? So that's the same thing here. Vishwamitra was practicing on his own, trying to control his senses. But then, when the opportunity came, or the Meneka ear, you know, she was dancing, and first of all the hearing, right? That's what it agitates everything. Just by hearing, things gets, mind gets disturbed. So same thing happened. So he fell down, but he came back. He became one of the Raja Rishis, right? He came to the Brahma level of Brahma or... No, not Brahma. Who is...
Vasishta.
Vasishta Muni. He was competing with Vasishta Muni. So he finally came. But these are stories in Bhagavatam, the given as an example for us, as a general population, it shows. So even as a great yogi as Vishwamitra, Vishwamitra, you know, if he opens his eyes, he could burn the whole demons, all that powerful. So what about us, insignificant? We are so insignificant, so we cannot control on our own senses. So we should take bhakti. In bhakti, what do? In bhakti yoga. So that we didn't discuss. Huh? Okay, that's the next words. So there is example of Amrisha Maharaj, how we use the senses in bhakti yoga. And how, why he is superior, and also there is example in the next word, why he is superior to even Durvasa Muni. Durvasa Muni was a big rishi, he is a big muni. So why the Amrisha Maharaj was a simple king, even though he was a grihastha, he was much more superior than the rishi, big rishi.
So one question I think has already come up. Why would anyone take the harder path of Ashtanga Yoga, the steps in the ladder than Bhakti Yoga? I mean, I'm not underestimating the effort required in Bhakti Yoga, but the other Ashtanga Yoga or the other subsequent steps.
Yeah, there are so many things. Yeah.
Why would anyone want to go through that hard test?
So I would say it's free will. First one is free will, right? And the next one is, you know, like we have so many varieties of, for example, you know, the phones, right? Like for example, this iPhone, some BlackBerry, Android thing, some people have Windows. So people choose based on the free will or the choice.
Yeah, but then those are comparable. It's not like the features differ. Here, I think probably
it's
part of it was answered last time. The other route, you could get some mystical powers or something, which probably is the reason.
That may be the outcome of. See, some people they want power, right? Like mystic powers. So those people they take up those that path. Oh yeah, they will come after some. See, once you burn your hand, you know, right? For example, you try something. If it doesn't work, then you learn the lesson and you practice, you know, right? You learn something and you pick up the other path. So the example Prabhupada gives is, you know, the three types of people. Generally there are three types of people, I don't know what's the definition, but he says, you know, some category of people, they just by hearing, they won't do something. If they hear, you know, stealing is wrong, some people just by hearing they will not commit that act. But some people, they hear and they see somebody is being caught by cops, then only they learn, right? But some people, they hear, they see and they have to commit that act, then they go to jail, they learn the lesson. So order way. So it's free will. So it's all based on the free will, you know, it's a choice. And also, you know, it's variety. It's always, you know, there is always variety for to cater to different varieties of people, because everybody doesn't come with the same like the baggage or karma. Everybody is different. some people or they have more pious credit when they are born, so they take up and they will have more facility to take up the easy way. Like bhakti yoga, it's pretty easy compared to other. So some people who have more pious credit, you know, they have done something pious in the previous life, so they are born in much more you know, easy aristocratic family. But anybody, yeah, that's true.
So then why?
No, that's why. So based on the baggage, what they carry, so it depends, you know, some people will take. So first one is free will, the second one is the mercy. Like for example, like we always give example of Srila Prabhupada. So if Prabhupada, you know, when he was alive here, right, when he was on the earth, so many people came, whenever he used to travel, he came across many people. But some people took up the bhakti. Some people, you know, they thought he's just an ordinary person, so they didn't take advantage of it. But whoever came across Prabhupada, even if they interacted something or even if they did a small service to Srila Prabhupada, so Prabhupada would have given that mercy for them. Even they don't have the qualification, he created qualification for many people.
So is it that these people who follow the different path are ignorant about it? Because to me they are very distinct.
They are distinct in one sense, yeah. For example, we temple, right? For example, many people come, we distribute books, we tell them about classes and all. Not many people take up. I mean, not many people, right? How many people take up? We have four Bhakti Gita batches like this, whatever we are doing. In 4 years, we have 4 batches. Those people, many people have tried different paths too. Who comes usually, many people have tried taking different paths, or they have come across different things. So they didn't get satisfied, so they want to try this one. There are many people like that. There are many reasons, but this I could think only of, you know, at least these 2-3 reasons. You know. And bhakti is not... it's not that easy to take up also.
I think it's the hardest part. Right?
Yeah, so it's not easy to get... The people who take up, they are special. The bhakti yoga, the people who take up the devotional service, they are special. It's not that they take it because it's very easy to practice.
They are selfless.
Yeah, so you need to have that pious, that much at least. So Prabhupada has mentioned many times that, you know, you need to have lot of pious credit to take up bhakti. So unless that, not many people can take.
So, but if you take a look at the previous generation, I think our generations, we tend to be very skeptical and rational, right? All this education.
Yeah, of course.
But if you take a look at our parents and all, I think bhakti is what they are brought up with.
Yeah.
Now, they don't necessarily all follow Krishna consciousness. Because they all, you know, when you see it's very hard. If I look at their generation, they're all very pious.
So it's different.
They don't all behave very well.
No, that's why it's pious is different than bhakti. Bhakti yoga is much more higher than just the pious
activity. But if you see in India, like most of the time, you're doing anything for something. So
generally 99% of the people, if they do some activity, right, especially in India generally, so they always expect something. Is it true? If you do some puja, but you expect something. It may be health, it may be wealth, right? It's always you expect something. But bhakti yoga is much more higher. It's, as you said, it's selfless. So in bhakti yoga, you cannot sustain if you start, you know, expecting things. Only when you do selflessly, you can stay on bhakti yoga. It's easy to take up, but it's tough. It's not...
Because Vishwamitra, he was doing the Ashtanga Yoga for some benefit.
Yeah, he was so practicing for his own power.
He didn't say any benefit out of bhakti yoga, so...
Yeah.
He didn't do it, so...
No, he wanted mystic powers. First of all, he was doing austerity to get powers. He wanted to become a Raja Rishi. So he was expecting something. And as Prabhu, you said... our parents, yes, they did... for some pious... You know, to expectation, they wanted, you know, kids to be, you know, good, they want good kids, they want money, they did many things. But that's, it's devotion, but not pure devotional service. It's not pure. It's tinged with no impurity. There's some impurity in that, so it's not pure.
But it's much better than the other path, the negative path and not doing anything.
Yeah, of course, it's gradation. So it's like at least, of course, because your parent, our parents did all this. That's why we are. See, we should, we could take up this. So we should always give credit to the parents. So we should never, because my mom has, you know, my mom, even she doesn't follow the Krishna consciousness. She has lot of service attitude, and I can tell whatever I got just because of her. So we have to always give credit to them, because they are the first gurus. Mother and father, they are the one who train us. But we can always give back. You practice bhakti yoga, and we know Prahlad Maharaj, right? What happened? He didn't ask anything about, you know, the Narasimhadev killed his father. But then Narasimhadev only told, because you are my devotee, you are 12 generation or 20?
20
generation. 20 generation before, 20 generation after. They all get liberated because he was a pure devotee. So that's how we can help our parents. Birth and death, yeah. They can go, they will go back to Godhead. Vaikuntha. They will go back to Vaikuntha. And what about Daimonacharya? What was the essence from the verse?
Which one?
So in the same 60, there is a reference, verse by Sri Yamanacharya. What did you discuss? Did you guys discuss anything about that? Nothing? So what does it say? If you just focus or engage in the service of the lotus feet of Lord Krishna, and I have been enjoying an ever new transcendental humor. Whenever I think of sex life with a woman, my face at once turns from it and I spit at that thought. For the measuring for all of us, right? If you want to measure whether you are making spiritual advancement. So here is one key point. So opposite sex, when you see opposite sex, so what does your mind think? So if your mind thinks, yes, the opposite sex is, you know, like father or mother. So what Prabhupada says is, other than wife, everybody else is your mother. Especially for grihasthas, other than wife, everybody else, we should see it as mother. So that's where, you know, we can measure our advancement based on how much you are chanting, you know, how much we are trying endeavor. So you can see. So when we see any, you know, beautiful other opposite sex, what does our mind think? Does it think, oh, I can enjoy? Or does it really think, oh, that's my mother? It's reality. Actually, you know, at least that's how we struggle, right? In life we struggle. But that's a pointer you can always remember to measure the spiritual advancement. One of the pointers you can always look up. And that's what Yamanacharya is saying. Yeah, he quotes Prabhupada, yeah, especially this. So the wife Prabhupada focuses lot of things on, you know, especially the sex is, that's what it's binding. Man, woman, you know, that's what binds. So that's why he emphasizes lot on that. We'll cover more, he discusses lot based on that. Yeah, we lose, like bind to the material nature. You want to come back, take birth again and again. Because it binds. You will not take, basically if you have, you know, your senses becomes, you will not be able to control your senses. Until you control your senses, you cannot get bhakti. So you will always remain in the cycle. And he said that, you know, sex pleasure is the highest pleasure in the material world anybody can get. even it may be for a few minutes, but that's highest pleasure anybody can get. And that's why he chastises like anything. Everybody, you know, we all work like anything, all day and night, but at the end of the day, that's what many people engage in. And next day, same thing, it repeats. He is strong, actually, you know. Anyway, when you hear his lectures and all, pretty strong. Because he knows we lose the focus on the goal. Then what else, any other point you discuss? So did we discuss, I don't know whether I have discussed before, like how senses, they are so strong, it can, even one sense can, you know, take away from devotional path, or it can, you know, strangle a living entity. Did we discuss all the examples, how, for example, sense of touch, right? How just the sense of touch, if you don't have control on the sense, how it can, you know, strangle your bhakti. The example, like elephant. So how do you control mad elephant? How do you control the mad? It's a big animal. That's the most, I think the biggest land animal, right? It's pretty strong. So if it goes mad, I don't know whether you heard the stories. If it goes mad, it really goes crazy. Nobody can control. It's impossible to control. But how do they control the mad elephant?
She elephant.
What does she elephant does? Do? Do you know anything? Did you hear what? You don't know how to control the mad elephant? You don't know?
So female elephant is trying to, you know, take the male elephant towards her dip, which is covered with
leaves and
things. So they dig a big hole, right? They dig a big hole where the elephant can fit. So they put a grass on it. They cover, make it the grass. Then when this male elephant, mad elephant, sees the female, it comes closer because it wants to touch. It wants to enjoy. So when it comes, when the female goes and touch, because females are trained, so they go and touch. Then it goes, becomes crazy.
Mm-hmm.
Then slowly that female walks. So this guy starts following. So wherever the ditch is, right, there it goes closer to that. Then the male elephant follows and it falls into the pit. Then they stop giving the food for many, many days until it starves. Literally it starves. Then it comes under the control. So just because of the touch, it can be, you know, captured. No, that's why once you starve that, no, it's crazy means it's not gone crazy. They have the time, they get become mad for, you know, to get the association of the females. So that time only.
I thought he was crazy before, that's why they had to adopt a certain
thing. No, to capture the something which is uncontrolled, elephant, that's
right.
The only way you can capture, by touch.
Right, but no, what I'm saying is, you had to do that because he was uncontrolled.
Yes. Yes, yeah, he was
uncontrolled. So that was not out of craziness, he was just...
Yeah, he's
just a wild elephant.
It's a wild elephant, yeah.
Or maybe they treat it afterwards.
It's a wild elephant. So after that you starve him?
Not mental.
No, he's just crazy, he's become crazy.
Like human beings also get crazy.
Yeah, yeah, they become so crazy. Then smell we discussed, right? Like just by sense of, no, smell, we discussed example, analogy of...
Must be.
So just because of he has so much of attraction to the smell, he keeps roaming to, you know, smell that musk to find the source. But the source is under the belly. But then because of exhaust, he got so exhausted by running around, he falls and he dies. There is much more reality. So according to the scriptures or the, you know, Bhagavatam, Bhagavad Gita, So the married couple, they can have the intercourse only for beget children, only to get beget children. Otherwise, no.
If they're following the pattern.
Yes, that's the only way you can practice. Actually, otherwise it becomes illicit sex. Otherwise, it becomes illicit sex. Even if you are married, if you are not following the scripture injunction, it becomes illicit sex. It's pretty strong. That's why it's, as you said, bhakti is easy, but it needs a lot of determination to practice. So must be. And then other senses. What about tongue?
Fish,
right? So easy way to capture fish is?
Worm on the hook.
You put a worm in the hook and you put the hook, then all, because it's so much, you know, enchanted to, or it's so attracted to that worm, it wants to eat, but it doesn't know what's underneath the hook. So it catches, it dies. So same way our senses, any of our senses, it can kill us if it's not controlled. So that's why these examples are in Bhagavatam and all. If it's not controlled, what can happen? And what about our sight, sense of sight? Sense of seeing. If we want to see everything beautiful, right? Our eyes are attracted to see beautiful things. So what's the example for that? What happens if you're not controlled?
Firefly.
What happens to the firefly? It's so much attracted to the light. It sees fire, it thinks it's good, right? It's light. So it keeps going closer. But it doesn't know fire can burn. So when it goes so close, it just burns off. So same thing like us, for us also. Instead of, you know, focusing on Krishna, seeing the deity form, all those things, if you see everything else which is not conducive to devotional service, bhakti yoga, then it can also strangle us. Then ear, how can the
deer, hunter plays sweet music and stops.
So deers are attracted to ear sweet, you know, any music, nice music or some music, they become stunned. Right? They become stunned, they don't know what to do. So then the hunter plays the flute, so the deer, you know, it becomes stunned. Usually they are very quick animals, right? Yes, run like that, anything. It's very difficult to capture. But when you play flute, it stops. Then it's easy for the hunter to shoot and kill. So that's how the senses are so strong. Even one sense can take you away from the bhakti yoga, path of bhakti yoga. So then how else we can use all these senses? Right, we know all this, we know the drawback if you don't use it in right way. But what's the right way to use it? So that's discussed in text 61. You've finished 61, right? So I'll just read the translation. One who restrains his senses, keeping them under full control, and fixes his consciousness upon me, is known as man of steady intelligence. So in this there are two parts, right? So first part is one who restrains his senses. But restraining his senses is not good enough. The yogis are doing the same thing, right? You're restraining senses. But what do you do after restraining the senses? So that's the next part. Fixes his consciousness upon me. Me means who? Who is reading the translation, or who is that me?
It's capital me.
Huh?
Capital me.
So who is that me?
Krishna.
Yeah, why, what? Is there doubt? No doubt,
you
right?
Why you are asking this?
I just want quick answer. I know you are waiting for so long to tell. Your doubt, yeah. You know. So this is first time Krishna actually is, you know, telling about him. we never read actually. Even if you generally go back, this is the first time he's pointing, you know, he's emphasizing on him, saying, you know, you focus on me. This is the first time he's
reading
Matpara. So that's a very key words, Matparaha in the Sanskrit, and also Pratisthita. That's also a very key word, because one is, that's on him, Krishna, right? Matparaha means in relationship with me. That's the yoga. What's the definition of yoga? We discuss. Establishing the link or to know the relationship with the God. So that's what here, Matparaha. So in the, if you see word to word English, it says Matparaha means in relationship with me. So that's the very key word.
See, and you should have Matparaha.
No, you should realize the what relationship we have. That's the practice of yoga.
Okay.
And other one is Pratisthita. Pratisthita. Fixed. Only when you are fixed in Krishna consciousness, then you are known as man of steady intelligence. So what are few points in this one? So this is very beautiful Bhagavatam verse, right? So how to use our senses. So we discuss, you know, engaging senses in wrong way causes destruction. But using the right way is here, how to use. So we don't have to do any research. We don't have, no? It's already given. In Srimad Bhagavatam it's explained nicely. So how do you engage the mind? I'm asking how to use, how to engage the mind. All of you. It's given in the translation very clearly for each senses.
Mind,
right?
Yeah.
And how do you engage words when you talk tongue? How do you use?
Speaking of,
in describing the glories, right? Talking about Lord. Then how do you use hands? And what about the ear? Ears. Eyes. Sight. Then nostrils or nose. Smell, basically smell. So who is a very good example? Just by this one practice, they got attracted to the Lord Vishnu or Narayana. Somebody just by smell, smelling the tulsi leaf, they became a devotee. They were a...
No, this is the Brahma's children, right? Four Kumaras.
Brahma Kumaras, right? So they were impersonalists basically. They are like, you know, impersonalists. But they were passing by and they smell, they got the smell of a tulsi leaf which is offered to Lord Narayana, lotus feet. Then they smell and they wanted to find where it's coming from. So they just, because of that, they became the devotees. Then what about the body or touch? Right? Basically serving, you know, like doing massage. Then what about tongue? Right? We should always engage in taking only prasadam. For all of us, that is very, very important. And legs?
Traveling.
And what about your head?
Traveling. Legs.
And your desires?
Feeling the desires of
your fulfilling.
So what are, so everything is here, right? How to use. So you don't have to do research, or you know, you don't have to have a doubt. So whenever you have a doubt, how to use my hand, or you know, how to use my nose or tongue, refer to this verse.
What are you fulfilling? The desires of the Lord.
Desires of the Lord is in Bhagavad Gita, right? Sarva Dharma Parichaya, that's his conclusion of Bhagavad Gita. So that's his desire. So he says, just surrender unto me. right? So you just surrender. That should be your desire. One time it was hot.
Yeah.
See, duality, right?
And they're always disturbed, right?
Okay, this is 61, right? So let's read the last paragraph. I don't know, did you guys rush to read the last paragraph last time? Or did you read the whole thing? The last paragraph, 61.
We can repeat.
I want to read because Prabhupada is, it's very important. The word matparaha is most significant in this connection. How one can become matparaha is described in the life of Maharaj Ambarisha. Srila Baladev Vidyabhushana, a great scholar and acharya in the line of the matparaha, remarks, the senses can be completely controlled only by the strength of devotional service to Krishna. Also, the example of fire is something sometimes given. As a blazing fire burns everything within a room, Lord Vishnu, situated in the heart of the yogi, burns up all kinds of impurities. The Yoga Sutra also prescribes meditation on Vishnu and not meditation on the void. The so-called yogis who meditate on something which is not on the Vishnu platform simply waste their time in vain search after some phantasmagoria. Means, what's the meaning of it? Phantasmagoria.
Phantasmagoria is something, it's like, it doesn't really exist, it's your mind playing illusions in my eyes. I looked it up, that's why.
Yeah. Oh, that's true, yeah. So many times Prabhupada uses that word. It's like imagination or an illusion. We have to be Krishna conscious, devoted to the personality of Godhead. This is the aim of real yoga. So many points here, right?
Mm.
Prabhupada is pointing about, if your meditation means, generally it's a very general, in the society it's assumed that something void actually. If you meditate on something, right, people sit. I see, you know, this summer I go for a walk after lunch a little bit. It's a park in downtown, nice park. And it's a water facing, it's a water, right? It faces the water. So some people will be, you know, sitting like this, something, you know, just to calm their mind or something. But something, they're trying to meditate on something. Mind cannot be idle, right? You cannot keep it idle. So something should be going on in the mind. So if their meditation, if somebody is saying, you know, I'm meditating on something, so immediately you should remember Prabhupada purport, what it says. Something means, if you are meditating on a void, that means it's a
waste.
Yeah, it, Prabhupada is saying it's a waste of time. And it's a waste of human life. Unless we are, you know, practicing on Vishnu, because Vishnu is present as Paramatma.
What's the meaning of the word? Phantasmagoria?
Yeah, it's like illusion or kind of imagination. Yeah, like that's why you meditate, people, you know, they think, couple of people told, you know, they do a circle and they try to focus on the center of something point, something they do. I didn't do research on it, but that's generally people do all this. Try to bring their mind on the nose, tip of the nose.
Okay, this is the definition.
So basically you imagine something, or you know, try to think something, but we don't do that. That's why it's for us, everything is given in Bhagavad Gita, Srimad. Bhagavad Gita has philosophy, right? You all know it's all about philosophy, but the Bhagavatam is all about
practice.
The examples of people who are practicing what philosophy is in Bhagavad Gita. So we have both, we have theoretical philosophy, a theory, and we have, what do they say?
Stories.
Cases.
Yeah.
Or the case studies.
Mm-hmm.
or use cases, whatever. So you have that one. So you can just take and follow, you know. In that sense, it's easy because you don't have to do anything on your own. Everything is predefined.
Phantasmagoria, an exhibition of optical effects and illusion.
Yeah, illusion.
Constantly shifting complex succession of things seen or imagined. A scene that constantly changes, or a bizarre or fantastic combination or assemblage.
Okay, so that is 61. So now the next two verses, 62 and 63, it's a memorization verses. So you need to practice memorizing this 62 and 63. You have to memorize. It's a very important verses because it applies to all of us. Why we are here?
Huh?
Why we are here? One of the reasons why we are being victimized by Maya. The reason why. So this 62 and 63 gives us the answer. But very beautiful and very logical. If you read, it's very beautiful as well. So let's recite together. Yeah, you can play. It's pretty. Yeah, you can play. I have practiced. So it's very, very logical. If you read this, we'll go through it. But yeah, it makes a lot of sense.
दयतो विषयान् पुंसा संगस्तेजोपजायते संगात् संचायते कामा कामा क्रोधो अनुजायते दयतो विषयान् पुंसा संगस्तेजोपजायते संगात् संचायते कामा कामा क्रोधो अनुजायते
While contemplating the object of the senses, a person develops attachment for them, and from such attachment, lust develops, and from lust, anger arises.
So what's happening here? Contemplating the objects of the senses.
Mm.
So that means?
Material activities.
So you see something, for example, beautiful, for like, you know, for especially which makes very big thing is opposite sex. So here, according to, so when you see it, then you start
thinking.
So mind is so quick, you start imagining, right? You contemplate, you start making up stories, making things up. Then person develops attachment for them. So some crazy people, they go step forward, no? There are people like that, right? It's practical. It's not a imaginary, this thing. It's very practical. Then from such attachment, lust develops. And from when the lust doesn't get fulfilled?
Anger.
Does it make sense?
Yeah.
Right? Forget about anything. Like, you know, if you have... What does generally for us makes... money in the bank. If the bank closes, or you know, if they take away and they run away, then automatically you have so much attachment for the money, then automatically the anger, right? Once you lose it, you have attachment, automatically when you lose it, you become angry. So that's the... So let's see what Prabhupada is saying. But these are very, very practical for all of us to measure.
One who is not Krishna conscious is subject to material desires while contemplating the objects of the senses. The senses require real engagements, and if they are not engaged in transcendental loving service of the Lord, they will certainly seek engagement in the service of materialism.
So here the point is, so we cannot be inactive, right? We are always active, mind is active. So you are always engaged in some kind of activity. So that activity can be material or spiritual, so that based on our engagement, how we engage, right? But we cannot be idle. We'll always have to do something, activity. So Prabhupada is saying, if they are not engaged in the transcendental loving service of the Lord, they will certainly seek engagement in the service of materialism. True, right? So if you are not engaging in devotional service, you will be engaging something else. So there is it's like a two side of a coin, like some kind of thing. So maybe that's not the right one. But you have to be in one of the buckets. You cannot be in between. There is no neutrality here in between. There is no neutral position. You cannot tell, I'm not doing some material activity or I'm not doing transcendental activity. I'm in between, I'm not doing anything. There's nothing like that. So you can be in any one of this. So that's what Prabhupada is making it very clear.
If you are in the service of doing service of the family, right? For example, is that not the same? It at times, simultaneously. Okay. Yeah, you know, if you are doing one thing, you cannot do other thing at the same time. So I get, but my question is, like, if I'm in service of my family, like, am I in the service of the Lord or am I doing material? Of course, you're dovetailing. You have to dovetail.
See, if you are in the service of your family,
yeah.
But are you helping your family come closer to Krishna or taking away from Krishna? That depends. Answer can be based on that. So are you making your family come closer to Krishna or are you making them go away from Krishna?
I'm doing neither, actually.
No, it cannot be. It cannot be.
Well, let's
can be in only
way.
One.
Prabhu is saying
you can be in one, only one.
That
can be only
here, right?
No?
That is the point you are making.
No, that's the answer for his
question.
Yeah. His question is, whatever service is doing for the family, is it service, devotional service or material activity? He's asking whether is it a transcendental activity or is it a material activity. So I'm telling how it can be a transcendental or material activity. So basically the intention matters. No, don't. I'm not picking you. We are all on the same boat. Don't worry about it. We are all on the same. No, we are all struggling. I'm no doubt. We are all on the same. That's why I'm telling you, we are all on the same boat. Don't think somebody else, I'm telling my example only. I'm also with you. We are all same struggling. Every one of us is struggling. It's just that supporting in association, helping each other, that's the only way you can practice bhakti yoga. You cannot do it on your own. So you're asking good example. It means you're giving your own example, how you're doing. I'm telling that's how it is, and we are all on the same boat, don't worry. But gradually we have to try. We have to put effort to change that, whatever we are doing.
In a way, it makes it complex, right? I mean, you're introducing more variables in a part of the field. If you were unmarried, then you can just focus. But if you have family...
But family can also help you in that.
Yeah.
When you are in Krishna consciousness, you will grow very fast.
Right? Yeah, and actually, if you get family support...
We'll grow very faster. Multiply by the family members.
First you have to, in a way, have them devoted as well. Right?
Yes. It's a
like
gradual,
but they are eligible. Only our mind is restricting. Our mind thinks, okay, only I can do start. No.
See,
start
if you are control of your family, right? For example, usually, generally, the husband is control of the family. If you have a wife, two kids, so husband is the.
Prabhuji,
generally, no.
I have no control on
that. No, it depends, but still.
Prabhu, you do know that this is being recorded, right?
Yeah, it's recorded. No, at least what's the ideal...
As per scripture.
Yeah, according to scripture, generally that's how it is, right? Society. Grandfather is the head of the family, right?
Generally, that's how it is.
Look at the only example he can prove. He's not talking.
No, but the point I'm trying to make is you have to first have them think on those.
Yeah, yeah.
Yes.
No, what I'm coming to the point is, I'm coming to the point as head of a family, whoever is leading, forget about, so let's make it generalized. In this current situation, maybe wife is in charge of the family. And wife is coming to temple and taking DYS and practicing Bhakti Gita. So our main duty is to go back and train other family members. Because you are the head of the family.
But in the interim, till that mindset changes, you still have to feed, you still have to serve.
No, it's a gradual, it's a gradual progress. It's nothing, it doesn't happen like this. It's a gradual progress. So how do, for example, Prabhuji's, right? So how do you bring, for example, you are practicing. So if you want to bring your kids and your wife to the family, the only easier, first of all, they'll making assumption that they listen to you. Right? If you're head of a family, generally they listen. So the first thing you do is you tell what good things you are getting out of the Bhagavad Gita. Right? And you have to show it by your behavior.
By example, you can do everything.
So you show it by example. You are reading something here, I am selling something here, and you go behave so roughly with the other family member. Right? You became more, stronger and rough with other family member. They think, what is this person? After going to, class, he's becoming more difficult to deal. Right? Then they think it's not good to take up devotional service. Right?
How you're doing.
Yeah, they think. So the best way is, you show it by example, behave nicely. Then they assume, they think that, wow, this person is becoming much better. And they deal with you every day, right? Day by day basis. So they realize it's easy to find out. Actually, it's if you want to ask, for example, if I want to know about Prabhuji's, right? How means once he's practicing devotional service, I want to know whether he's, his really behavior is improved. I should ask Mataji. No, how was he before? Before and after. Then you will know. No, you can make out. That's how it is. So that's how you can, influence your family members to take up devotional service.
That's why that's be the change you want to see in others.
Yeah. Help yourself, before you help others. So, I forgot one analogy, something Prabhupada. It skipped my mind. Anyway, so Prabhupada, that's the point. I don't think any personally, I didn't point anything, personally, but we are all struggling, so we are all with you. Maybe, I am not sharing things, Prabhuji is not sharing things, but you are very open and you are sharing nicely. That's good, open discussion, that's nice.
So, Hari Vilas Prabhu was telling, it seems, the only person who knows how much progress you have made is your spouse. So,
well, that's what I told, you just ask, I should ask somebody, I don't know. Class coming to class is here, no?
All I ask is don't do it in front of me, Prabhu. That's all I ask. Or in front of others, you keep that in.
But it's very, very potent. Bhakti Yoga, at least I know. So I don't have. I know because Krishna is within myself and and I don't want to lie to devotees. It's not, it's not good for my devotional service. I used to get so angry. It just because of like that. First reason is eating onion and garlic makes you really your anger on your tongue, on your nose. Always anger stays here. Because onion especially, it agitates your mind. Always, it's passion. So it makes you very, very passionate and always anger will be there on your tip of your nose. So I used to be like that. My mom, so once, this is a very eye-opener for me actually. So my sister told me once, so from after I went to college, all this. So they never used to open up so much with me, my sister or my mom. Not talk so much, generally, but not share anything about family problems or this problem about my brother or something. They never used to talk. So then after that, I took up devotional service, few years passed. Then I was becoming, softer. I was very, very strong person. So I was becoming a little bit soft. Then I was respecting, I had respect, but how you communicate, like if your sister says something, immediately you put her down. You say, you don't know anything, what are you talking, like that. I used to behave like that. Then after a few years, you know, she started telling, we didn't tell you a lot of things when you were growing up, you know, college and all, we didn't share you a lot of things. Then I asked her why. Then she told, because he used to get angry all the time. Whenever we wanted to tell something, you used to get angry. That's why we didn't want to bother him. Then I thought, wow, that's a big thing for me actually, that, you know, it's a personal, you know, somebody who is family member who is telling that. I felt very bad, first of all, when I heard that my sister telling. Then she told, yeah, now, you know, now we can share, you're much more open to listening and, you know.
It's hard to make conversation.
Yeah, it's very difficult. So the Bhakti Yoga is very powerful, at least, you know, the only, I can tell, talk for myself, because I've seen change in myself and it worked, it has worked on me. And we have seen many people, it's not just, no, I have seen many examples like that. So it's just a gradual progress, no, you should have patience, right? And chanting is, that's the main.
Mm.
At least one round, whatever you do, that's the, chanting should be there. When you take off chanting and you read, you know, discuss a lot of things, it just temporarily it stays for some time. But really the mind, you know, cleansing, why it's called mantra then, right? Hare Krishna mantra. Mantra means controlling the mind, right? So chanting is the only one which will help. It works. I can
talk. I heard that everything is needed regularly to progress in spiritually, like reading, chanting, prasadam, kirtan.
Yeah.
You need all the quantities together.
Yeah.
It's not like you're just chanting, you will get succeed. No. Not only one part.
But chanting, for example, you can.
The advantage of chanting, but I'm saying we cannot neglect other parts as well. These are also.
No,
very
starting important.
Yes,
chanting is a must. You may not take prasadam. Like you may not offer at home, right? Many people may not offer. So that doesn't mean, you know. So chanting only helps that time. Many people doesn't offer prasadam,
yeah,
right?
We started.
Yeah, not many people out. So, you know, many people we generally talk, they don't offer or anything. But for them, chanting helps.
That's why they said ABCD, right? ABCD in DOS, they said.
Association.
Books,
chanting.
Devotion service.
Yeah, but everything starts.
Yes.
Yeah, chanting is the one which gives that starting impetus. And of course, slowly, you know, you add prasadam, offering, association. Association is a must. In that sense, yeah, everything is a must. But somewhere you have to start, right? That's where the chanting helps to clear the mind.
So prasadam, it's offering food to the Lord before you have
it.
Right?
Yes. That's a boga. When you cook, so we don't taste while cooking, salt, all those things we don't do. So you offer, that's boga.
Mm.
Once you take with tulsi, if you have tulsi, that's best to offer with tulsi. After that you take, that becomes prasadam.
Okay.
So that's...
Like whatever you eat, everything... Yeah.
Yeah.
Milk, everything...
Whatever you eat. So basically you are acknowledging the source, like the God is the one who is providing everything. So you're just, you know, you're showing the
gratitude
or, you know, acknowledging that, you know, thanks for giving us whatever you are providing.
But that's not particularly difficult. I mean, if you take a look at books, everything takes time, chanting takes time.
That's why it's very easy, yeah.
Prasad.
Yes. You got the point, yeah. So that's why once you offer, take prasadam, it's very easy to control your tongue, right? So everything starts with the tongue mainly, you know. If you don't have control your tongue, you spoil all the relationships, you know.
So how do you control your tongue? Just because you're offering prasadam?
Eating prasadam.
Yeah, eating prasadam, that automatically, if you offer it and you have
yes.
it, it starts.
Just by doing that, your tongue comes under control. Just by offering, eating prasadam.
You remember
that's
God,
how
right before eating
right.
anything.
And we don't offer some unwanted things, right?
Okay.
So
like
we eat only the proper things.
It becomes regulated, you know.
The onions, garlics.
Yes, we avoid, yeah. If you're all eating now, it's okay. But generally, slowly, you know. That's why once you understand all, you know, what really you're getting, gaining, then you give up what is there. You know, you're gaining something much higher, whatever the param drishtva nirvata. You are gaining something higher, you will lose, give up easily the lower taste. You don't even care. If anybody is eating onion, I don't know who all eating, you stop for a week or a two and you see the difference. It's a very practical thing. You just see for a, I would say maybe if you are so used to it, give a month actually. I would say, no, because your tissues all have to get cleansed. Try. It's I kind of experimented. Not experimented, I could see the change actually. Your mind, you know, always keeps, you know, jumping here and there like a monkey. It cools down. It soothes the mind actually in one sense. It's very, very powerful.
Prabhu, I wanted to ask one question. Whatever we eat has to be offered to God. Every single meal has to be prepared very fresh, including the breakfast.
Yes.
How practical is that?
We are doing for many years.
So what do you eat?
Whatever. So my mom now, she makes idli sometimes, some say upma. Sometimes oats, I get oats.
No, why is
it
that?
It is possible.
But that's why I asked, because it should be, right? Just offering it.
Yeah.
No,
but
we have to take like bath
see,
and everything.
If we,
it's not like
if we limit it to maybe few things, then
it's already
more
cooked before.
No, yeah, so I'm saying it, not offering anything that's pre-cooked, right?
What about cereal, right?
I offer,
maybe,
yeah.
So generally whatever is
new,
yeah.
New,
dinner,
fresh we get.
You offer it in the morning,
fresh.
Itself, everything, and then you can have for dinner. If you
so
mean,
one time you prepare for
yeah,
the whole day?
For the whole day and offer it in the morning, or some of them keep aside, don't touch them, offer in the evening, dinner time, then you can have it. But that is like so many hours, so instead of that, offer whatever you could for the day. And you offer it.
The practical way to do it is like for what we follow, whatever based on, you know, seniors, all this. So for example, sometimes I eat cereals, oats, right? I eat oats.
Mm-hmm.
So when I get oats from, you know, anywhere,
mm-hmm.
the first time I get oats, I soak oats in milk because I get milk also. So I soak in oats, milk, and I offer that. Done? So that. So next time I won't offer until I finish that whole batch.
So the whole box.
Mm.
So
whole box of milk
of
and whole, whole box
offered.
Of oats.
So you can have it without offering every single
Yeah, you don't have to offer. When you get once
that's,
fresh, you
that's
offer that.
That's
so breakfast you make, so you offer first time. So if it's remaining for lunch, you don't have to offer. So anything you make fresh,
yeah, exactly.
That should
was
be
my
offered.
Question. You have to then prepare fresh meals every rather than
No, whenever
so
you offer.
Maybe that's how you can do it. But
so the more practical thing is this. Whenever you make something fresh, just put on tulsi leaf, offer it. And there are mantras like Prabhupada Pranam Mantra, you can recite Hare Krishna Mantra 3 times. Done. So Krishna sees only the intention. What's your intention? Are you really acknowledging whatever he has given? That's the only thing.
Mm-hmm.
So that makes a big difference.
Mataji,
just
I don't think Mataji's point is about the practicality of making fresh food, or is it
how feasible is that?
How feasible
is
it?
Right?
It's a combination. One example would you give the packed box food? That's an example for that.
Yeah.
Another is that every day you are cooking, right?
Yeah.
So
whenever you cook, whatever you cook,
maybe
you get
a combination
milk.
Of all these things.
So you get fruits. I get different types of fruits. So when I take one of each. Offer it. So next I won't offer remaining the fruits, the batch.
And from that bunch you
just take one. Yeah. For grapes I get, you take one bunch of grapes. You offer it. So you don't have to offer the remaining grapes.
But you may consume it
yeah.
over a few days. Right?
That's okay, that's fine. Yeah, you don't have to worry, that's fine.
Is one person offering enough? No, I'm sorry.
One person?
So and you buy a bunch of fruits, you offer it. Then does Mataji have to offer it to later which he has or
Yeah. No, you don't have to. There's no need, yeah. It's once you offer, that's good enough. You start from there, yeah. That's the starting point. Once you take, that's when your tongue comes under control, then everything, you know, starts. You want to listen, you know, you want to chant, all these things. Tongue is the one which starts everything, right? If it's not under control, it will keep going on. So what else other points in that? can read, Prabhuji. I think you stopped.
In the material world, everyone, including Lord Shiva and Lord Brahma, to say nothing of the other demigods and the heavenly planets, is subjected to the influence of sense objects. And the only method to get out of this puzzle of material existence is to become Krishna conscious. Lord Shiva was deep in meditation, but when Parvati agitated him for sense pleasure, he agreed to the proposal, and as a result, Kartikeya was born.
Well, you all know that, right? Or you may not know, but that's the... This is demigods, right? Different demigods. They made a conspiracy. Basically, without having Kartikeya, they couldn't win against the demons. Like a different army, right? Demigods and demons. Demons were very powerful. So they have to get a son from Lord Shiva, because Lord Shiva is very powerful. So if he can get a son from Lord Shiva, he can easily defeat the demons. So that's why they made conspiracy, and that's how they, when Shiva was in meditation, that's what they did.
How they can defeat
Kartikeya? Son. Kartikeya was Lord Shiva's son. He's a commander in chief of the army.
I mean, with the help of the son.
Kartikeya, fight. He's a commander. He becomes a commander and he defeated all the demons. So that's
Parvati was an imaginary one, right? When you say conspiracy.
No. Somebody has to convince her, right, to act such a way. So demigods convinced her to act such a way, so, you know, Lord Shiva can get disturbed and. When he was in meditation. So then, next one you can read, next paragraph. So Prabhupada is making a point here.
When Haridasa Thakur was a young devotee of the Lord, he was similarly allured by the incarnation of Mayadevi. But Haridasa easily passed the test because of his unalloyed devotion to Lord Krishna.
You know Haridasa Thakur? I don't know whether not of Lord. I don't think you have heard. So Haridasa Thakura is a, he was incarnation of Lord Brahma actually. He took birth, during Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's pastime. So he is from a Muslim family, Haridasa was from a Muslim family. But he is called Namacharya, he is Acharya for chanting. He used to chant almost 2192 rounds of Japa. How many we are trying to do, standard? 16, right? We are trying to do 16, that takes 2 hours. So he used to do 192 rounds. So that means literally it's almost close to 22 or 23 hours. He used to chant that many hours. So he used to sit and chant. Then because he was a Muslim, he was trying to follow bhakti. So the local, magistrate or somebody, like a Muslim, So he convinced one of the prostitute or Maya Devi to go and disturb his, basically he wanted him to fall down from Bhakti Yoga. He wanted to make him fall down. But then so this is what happened. So she went when he was chanting in the night, right? He was chanting in the night. So she went and she requested, I want to be in union with you. Then he told, I have few more rounds, I want to finish my chanting. So can you just sit? Then he started sitting. Then it became early morning. Then he told, you come next, tonight, we can meet. I want to finish my round. So she came that night. So same thing he told, I want to finish my rounds, please sit. Then she just sat, just by listening to the chanting, is chanting. And he had a Tulsi Maharani in the front. So that's even more powerful. So he was just chanting. Then she got purified, she became a devotee. So he never got disturbed, he didn't fall down. So what's the point Prabhupada making here is? Prabhupada can read that. I think Prabhupada is only saying that. I will just wait.
As illustrated in the above mentioned verse of Sri Yamunacharya, a sincere devotee of the Lord shuns all material sense enjoyment due to his higher taste for spiritual enjoyment in the association of the Lord. That is the secret of success. One who is not therefore in Krishna consciousness, however powerful he may be in controlling senses by artificial repression, is sure ultimately to fail. For the slightest thought of sense pleasure will agitate him to gratify his desires.
Okay, there are few things. So one is Prabhupada is again pointing. Lord shuns all material sense enjoyment due to his higher taste for spiritual enjoyment. So that's the text 59, right? We discussed text 59. Param drishtva ivartate, right? Higher taste. So he's talking about, he's referencing the particular words. And the next point he's making is, one who is not therefore in Krishna consciousness, however powerful he may be in controlling the senses by artificial repression, is sure ultimately. You read that words, how he is telling, how much, emphasize. He is giving so much of emphasis on that particular word. He is sure ultimately to fail. That means?
Eventually
it's going to happen or it's going to fail. And there are so many examples as we discuss, right? We don't need any, you don't want to be one more example, right? We are so insignificant, and for sure we will not be in Srimad Bhagavatam or anywhere, our example. Because we are already, there are big examples. Lord Shiva, Lord Brahma, right? Vishwamitra. So they have already set example. So we don't want to try that path, right? So that's why, it's just Krishna consciousness or Bhakti Yoga is the only way which will help. And also Lord Shiva, also next time, you remember Mohini Murthy?
Yeah.
Many of you know past time, Mohini Murthy, same. Vishnu took the form of Mohini Murthy to attract the demons. They were trying to share the Amrut, right? That time, so Vishnu took birth, it came as Mohini Murthy, very, very attractive, right? Mohini means attractive. So that time, same thing, Lord Shiva got attracted. So he started chasing Mohini Murthy. It's not that Lord Shiva is, we are not treating, he's not good or he's slower like that. He's setting an example. He is the lord of all the demigods, right? He is the leader of all the demigods.
Is he a demigod?
He is a demigod, yeah. He is one of the demigods. So
there is one lecture we heard that he has some tattva as well that is not...
He is in between, yeah. He is much more than demigods, but not as equal to Vishnu. He is lower than Vishnu, but
lord
more...
Well. Yeah,
he has his own... He is very powerful. And he is the... He is called the best devotee of Vishnu. What does he meditate actually when he sits, right? He meditates. Lord Shiva always meditates. He meditates on Vishnu. So, these examples are there for all of us. So, Lord Shiva, Vishwamitra, Brahma.
When Vishnu Sahasranama, we say, right? Ishvara Vacha. That's when Shiva is saying, he says, Shri Rama Rama Rame, Shri Rame Rame, Manorame, Sahasranama Chaturmim Rama Rama Rame. So he tells Parvati that that's what he is meditating on, the form of Rama. So that's what he says.
Okay, I think time.